Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hi, I'm Martin Bain, and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show.
And I'm Justin Case. And Martin, what am I looking at here? There's a UFO convention poster on the wall.
Ah, this is an opportunity to meet Johnny and Dave from the ATS Mix Show at the 11th Annual Bay Area MUFON Convention.
Oh, well, why didn't we get invited?
No, there's a good question. I suspect, can we be cynical here? Could it be that, you know, our venerable host of the ATS Mix Show maybe got to the budget before we did?
You know, in all fairness, we have had problems with that ourselves, so I can totally sympathize.
Absolutely. But then you and I do have to be focusing on U.S. elections and things like that one. So.
Well, that's true. Now, as luck would happen to have it, the front office has given us a little something here from Dave. So why don't we let Dave explain this whole convention thing in his own words?
Hi, everybody. Dave Rabbit here from the ATS Mix Show. And I want to tell you, I've got something that's really fabulous coming your way, and we want each of you to be a part of this experience. Last year, my partner, Johnny Anonymous, and I attended the Bay Area UFO Expo in San Jose, California. This year, the founder of the event, Victoria Jack, invited Johnny and I back again. I can't believe it, neither could Johnny, but it's fact. We are going to be attending the 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo, this year located in the beautiful Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara, California. Now, it's going to be held this year on September 27th and 28th of 2008. There's going to be all kinds of vendors there. There's going to be all kinds of speakers there. There's going to be all kinds of special featured guests, which I cannot mention because it's top secret. But there's going to be all kinds of things about UFOs, alien encounters, Earth mysteries, government cover-ups, and so much more that I just don't have the time to mention. But you can find out more information by going to abovetopsecret.com/forum. Go to the ATS Mix information area, and you'll find a thread that says Meet Dave and Johnny at the Bay Area UFO Expo. Now, for those of you that are members of the AboveTopSecret.com family, you have some really special opportunities. Number one, you can ask questions for the guests that are listed there on this particular thread. And number two, and probably more important, is that you will get a chance to win 10,000 ATS points for bringing us a can of Bush beans and being one of the first 10 that do it. So there's a couple of incentives right there. And actually, we're going to actually probably eat the Bush beans, or either that, or we'll autograph the Bush beans and give them back to you. And you can sell them on eBay. Now, won't that be fun for everybody? Okay, and then now, I'll tell you something else that's really going to be amazing. Johnny and I are probably going to do all kinds of crazy stuff like we did last year. And it's kind of like we were Pac-Man Jones with the Dallas Cowboys. Last year, I thought Johnny and I were going to get absolutely banned for all the shenanigans that we did. I mean, we were going through the expo area with all the exhibitors, and we were singing Edelweiss, and we were getting a group together, and we were doing this and doing that, and we were singing songs, and I don't know how many renditions of Do You Know the Way to San Jose that Johnny and I sang last year, but it was absolutely chaotic fun to the 10th degree. And this year is going to be even better. And I can't wait to meet a lot of you guys and gals out there that are fans of the ATS Mix Show. And as we're approaching our 100th show, I mean, we want to thank each and every one of the 23 million subscribers and fans that we have accumulated in the last year. And if you like more information, as I say, you can go to AboveTopSecret.com/forum. go to the ATS Mix information and find the thread that says Meet Dave and Johnny. You can also go directly to the Bay Area UFO Expo site, which is located at www.thebayareaufoexpo.com. And this is also located on all the different pages. It shows the artwork with all the guests and whatever. So please come join Johnny Anonymous and yours truly, Dave Rabbit, for a weekend of fun on September the 27th and 28th of 2008 at the Marriott Hotel, Santa Clara, California, at the 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo. And for those of you that fly in, you fly in through the San Jose International Airport, and the hotel is about 5 minutes away from that location. So hope to see all of you there. Peace and love, everybody.
Hi, Justin and Martin, this is Neff with this week's UK Roundup. In what's turning out to be a torrid time for Gordon Brown, former Home Secretary Charles Clarke has gone on record as stating that the Prime Minister must, in his words, improve or quit. Clarke, when asked in a BBC Radio 4 interview how long Brown had left, stated that he believed it was a matter of months, unless Brown could show a marked improvement in popularity and political authority. Whether he sees himself as a future party leader or not, the timing of the interview is significant, as it comes hot on the heels of the UK Chancellor, Alistair Darling, shooting himself and his leader squarely in the foot this past weekend. Darling, the man who succeeded Brown as Chancellor of the Exchequer, told the Guardian newspaper that the UK was facing its worst economic crisis in 60 years, and no one knew how bad things were going to get. Not exactly the best thing to do when you are the man presiding over one of the world's top economies. Of course, the FTSE Index reacted badly to the news when it reopened on Monday, and Darling has been backpedalling ever since, explaining in interviews that, I quote, "I think it's important that government ministers, and me in particular, are level with people." Whether that's New Labour deciding on a change of policy or not, it's certainly an unusual soundbite from a government minister these days. Finally, and this is nothing to do with politics, it's a shameless plug for the first monthly Modcast. You'll find an invitation to listen on the Board Business and Questions Forum. And also, I want to pass on my congratulations and to say well done to Justin for getting his own radio show. Your successor on the Above Politics show has some serious shoes to fill. That's all from me, guys. So back to you in the studio.
Hey everyone, Doc Hancock here from the BTS Mix Show. The BTS Mix is a lot of fun, but when I need some serious mental stimulation, I know exactly where to go. Our sister shows here at the Above Network LLC. Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous over at the ATS Mix Show tackle a variety of current topics, ranging from hard-hitting events in the news, to conspiracy theories, to the mysterious world of UFOs. Here you'll find insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their fields. To quench my political cravings, I tune into the Above Politics show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin make sense out of this crazy political climate by discussing member posts, interviewing members about their stances on the issues, and interviewing noted political figures and authors. For politics, there is nowhere else to turn. So come on over and deny boredom with us at the BTS Mix Show, featuring Spencer Tracy and me, Doc Hancock. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be a part of the revolution. It's Above Network, LLC.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. It's been a long time since I've been to California. But, you know, I got to tell you, Martin, I'm still trying to sort out what happened at the Republican National Convention in here in the States. Tell me, do they have delegates? Do they have a nominating process that's anything like ours in the UK?
I think the simple one would be no. As and when a political leader of the three main parties falls and Certainly, we've had a fair few of them in the last few years. Typically, there is no sort of nomination process that goes around the country. And I stand to be corrected. And hey, if I've got it wrong, you know what to do. You either post in the show thread or you to you, me or Justin, whichever one of us has said the silly thing. Chances are it's going to be me. But typically in the UK, Justin, it would be inside the political party. So either the Labour Party, the Conservative Party or the Liberal Democrat. Those people would then find one or two people who were interested in being the leader. And typically then they would go through, and there may be more than one round. And there is the concept we have in British politics called the stalking horse. So someone who really doesn't stand a chance of ever being elected leader, but is put forward to initiate the leadership contest, but then also to encourage some of the other big players. And this certainly happened when Margaret Thatcher, I have to be quite honest, I think she was stabbed in the back at the time, but when she was deposed almost, and she said, right, I'm going to have a leadership contest for the Conservative Party, there were one or two stalking horses. So these were people who didn't stand a chance but were there to encourage other people to come out. So typically it would be decided by the senior members of the political party, and then it would typically be voted on by the membership of the party, the MPs, and if it's the Labour Party, then also the trade unions would have a vote. But we wouldn't have the whole concept of a nominating convention, you know, where all the states would come and everyone says, you know, we're now casting our votes for the next president and all this type of thing. There just wouldn't be that razzmatazz, that sort of huge political event. So in essence, the bottom line, we don't have that concept of the delegates and them voting and putting forward the presidential candidate or the prime minister candidate or the leader of the party.
Now, you've mentioned recently political conferences that are going on in Europe and in the UK during the month of September. How are those different than our national nominating conventions?
I think simply that these are conferences that take place every year, and it's sort of the highlight. I suppose it is the highlight of sort of the year for the political party. It's an opportunity when rank and file members get to go to the conferences. It's the time when the rank and file maybe get to rub shoulders with the leadership and maybe their MPs and people who are shaping policy, not only for the government but for the two major opposition parties. And it's also a time for those in opposition to say, you know, how badly the government is doing and then how they might change things. And it's also an opportunity, particularly if you're in government, maybe to showcase or drop hints as to, you know, major policy initiatives that you're actually thinking about. And it's also a huge PR opportunity, and it's a huge, you know, there will be coverage on the TV. It won't be war to war light, for example, the Democratic nominating convention and both the Republican nominating convention. It typically won't be war to war. I can remember a time when there was a huge amount of TV for, you know, both. We've got the trade union congress going on at the moment, and then we have the three major political parties coming up. And there was a time when I was younger that, you know, those would be shown live on BBC Two for those in the UK who can remember all of that one. So it's an annual thing. It's nothing to do with an election process. However, if you've got a conference that's coming up maybe before a general election, it may be slightly more charged. But other than that, it's just an opportunity to put policies forward, have the membership vote on ideas and policies that you might want for the future.
I recently had a chance to speak to the Deputy Press Secretary for Specialty Media at the Republican National Convention. Her name was Johanna Della Torre, and she actually had quite a bit to tell me about what it is to be a delegate and what they do at these conventions.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Rabbit.
And I'm his co-host, Johnny Anonymous. And we do a show called The ATS Mix on AboveTopSecret.com. You know, after Dave and I get through doing one of our shows, we like going and listening to one of our sister shows on the Above Network, LLC.
And you know, Johnny, one of my favorites is over on BelowTopSecret.com. It's the new and hilarious BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock, his partner. When you're looking for lighter entertainment, these guys will rock your world with the best access to sports news, television, radio, and general discussion.
Oh, good.
They feature member posts, member on-air conversations, and celebrity interviews. This is a show that everyone is really going to enjoy.
And if by chance politics might be more your cup of tea, then AbovePolitics.com is going to be right up your alley. You know, the Above Politics show features Martin Bain and Justin Case, and they give you insightful and informative information that you're just not going to find anywhere else. They feature intelligent conversation on posts from our members, member interviews about their stance and platforms, as well as interviews with noted political figures and authors. You know, Dave, this really is your one-stop political shop.
And you're right about that, Johninator. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with Johnny and I on the ATS Mix Show.
Deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with our friends Martin Bain and Justin Case.
And then you too can be a part of the revolution. Above Network LLC.
This is Justin Case, and today I'm talking to Johanna De La Torre, who is the Deputy Press Secretary for Specialty Media, connected to the GOP's 2008 convention. Hello, Johanna. How are you today?
Hi, Justin. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. So I've got some questions for you about the delegate situation there at the convention. Do you mind?
No, go ahead.
What specifically is the role of a convention delegate?
Well, convention delegates represent their state or territory of residence, and they cast a vote toward the nomination, basically, for depending. This time it's the Republican Party's candidate for president and vice president of the United States.
Okay, do they have any other functions at all?
No, that's their main function.
That sounds like a job I could enjoy. So what are alternate delegates?
Alternate delegates are just that, alternates. The role of an alternate delegate is to act on behalf of another delegate in their absence on the convention floor. Basically, what happens is that oftentimes, you know, delegates and alternate delegates are shifting amongst each other because of the simple fact that people are walking in and out of the convention floor. But if there is voting going on and for any reason a delegate is not there, the alternate delegate that is there to represent them will have to cast the vote for it.
Well, that sounds interesting. So it's like a backup system.
Yeah, it's basically like a backup system, just like the word alternate.
That sounds pretty cool. So tell me, do places like Washington, D.C. and the various protectorates and possessions, do they have delegates at this convention?
Oh, definitely. Just to give you a little bit of background, there's 45,000 delegates, alternate delegates, members of media, and other guests that are expected, specifically 2,380 delegates. And 2,227 alternate delegates are attending the convention from 56 states and territories around the nation. And then basically the number of delegates allotted to each state varies. And those computations are basically calculated by the rules of the Republican Party established during the 2004 National Convention. Yes, Washington, D.C. and various other places will have delegates representing them on the convention floor. And in the case of D.C., let's just say they have 19 delegates and 16 alternate delegates that will, you know, basically be part of this year's historic convention.
That sounds pretty impressive. With so many people on hand, I kind of have a sense of how information comes into the convention, but how do you guys handle the flow of information that goes out of the convention?
Are you talking in regards to how delegates speak to media outlets, or in what respect?
Well, that's actually a very good question. Do the individual state delegations have press officers, or what?
Well, they don't have press officers per se. Like I've been telling you, I've been sifting through the delegation pool, and the way that it works is that I look for people amongst delegations, whether they are delegates or alternate delegates, and I basically pair them up with different media outlets and their necessities. And that's basically how our information is filtrated out to make it to the media and to the masses, which is what really our goal is.
That sounds like a very full-time job with so many people having so much to say.
Definitely. It's definitely something that it doesn't come very easily, but the pool of delegates and alternate delegates that we have are phenomenal. They are very committed to not only the party, but our candidate and what their role as a delegate and an alternate delegate is. So most of them, and I can actually say all of them, are very receptive when somebody picks up the phone and says, look, I have this media outlet that, you know, would like to speak to you on a personal basis and find out a little bit about what's going on during the convention. Why are you supporting Senator John McCain? And, you know, why are the Republican values what's important to you? And that's really what a convention's all about, bringing people together to talk about the importance of our party. And I think that's a very wonderful thing.
Now, speaking of bringing people together, I understand that conventions like this are huge hierarchies of committees. Now, I know that this year's Republican convention theme is, I believe it's reform, prosperity, and peace. Did I get that right?
Well, those are the themes of the day. Our general theme is country first.
Okay, now, who decided this? Was this actually a committee, or was this a much grander effort?
Themes are supposed to be reflective of our candidate. And together, we all decided that John McCain's idea of country first and his remarkable record of leadership and service to America are demonstrated by these themes that you spoke of, service, reform, prosperity, and peace. Along with those themes, a cross-section of leaders will highlight the senator's commitment to this country's first theme of the whole convention, and they will address John McCain's unmatched record of service and sacrifice for America. So yes, in reality, it's something that's long and tedious, but it's something that is really, really reflective of our candidate and is decided upon by all of us.
Well, I know that that's something that matters to our audience. The Above Politics show listener base tends to be a little jaded when it comes to politics, and I know that a lot of our bigger fans are going to feel better knowing that there's not just a small number of people in a back room somewhere that made that decision.
No, definitely. Everybody really has a say in this. This is all about coming together. Like I told you, what a convention is all about, coming together and speaking about what we want for our party and why we're nominating Senator John McCain as President of the United States. And that's what's good about, you know, coming together and basically uniting forces under something so important like country first. This is something that's very dear to Senator John McCain. And honestly, it's very dear to many of Americans around the nation. And we're very happy that this is the theme of our convention this year and that we're going to be able to push that forth.
Now, speaking of coming together, is there actually enough room in the convention hall for all of the delegates, alternates, volunteers, and support staff?
Oh, definitely, definitely. The Xcel Energy Center is phenomenal. It's basically been renovated in small areas, not basically something that's been very architectural. It's more of an aesthetic kind of thing to be able to transmit this information and have all these people inside of here. Like I told you, I think in our last interview, they've been able to create suites and basically just prepare everything for kind of like a massive TV studio for the nomination of Senator John McCain.
I can see how that would be absolutely necessary. There is one thing that I'm wondering about, though. This is just a personal question from me. I noticed that one of the keynote speakers is Senator Joe Lieberman, who's an independent. So I'm just curious to know, why is a non-Republican speaking at a Republican convention?
Well, the program reflects John McCain's remarkable record of leadership and service to America. And each day of the proceedings, there'll be different people that will take center stage and touch on different themes that have defined John McCain's life and will be central to his vision for leading our nation forward as president. Our convention will focus a cross-section of leaders that will highlight this, and including Senator Lieberman is one of John McCain's strongest supporters. And we're very excited to include him in the program in one of the most historic events, you know, in this nation. And I think it's just something that really shows that there is no boundaries as long as there's one common goal. And I think that's one of the major reasons why Senator John McCain and Senator Lieberman are such good friends, and they are able to support one another.
Well, I think all of you folks would have to be good friends with some 45,000-odd people under one roof. That's pretty incredible.
It's hard. It's very hard. But you try to make friends with as many people as possible. And really, that's one of the best things about my job. Right now, I can say that I have about 3,898 friends in the media. So it's actually very exciting to be able to work with such a different conglomeration of people.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
You know, as interesting as that sounds, I'm almost glad that that I am not a delegate in our political process, because whether Republican or Democrat, it sounds like there's just so much procedure. I'm afraid I'd just fall asleep.
Yes, and I can imagine, there's this huge honor, I suppose, of being the first state to, cast its vote, and the state that maybe, tips the balance and maybe the final state and all that type of thing. And you talk a little bit about the procedural side of things, but I could, having seen some of this on the TV recently, there seems to be a lot more razzmatazz about it. Now, whether that's sort of, deliberate or whether that's just for the media, I don't know. But, you certainly do seem to have a slightly more of a party feel to it than, potentially what may happen in the UK, which typically would happen a lot behind closed doors. But I think we're, very lucky, and I know we've touched on it, and just for a balanced point of view here, Justin, is that we made every attempt to talk to the Democratic Party. They chose not to give us the same kind of accesses that the Republican Party have done. And I think this is, it's great that we've had the opportunity to, talk to some senior people there. And I know we've got something coming up later also with a Republican delegate as well, but I think this is great for us and great for our membership that we have someone who's prepared to take the time to explain the whole process to us. And I just wonder how many Americans understand what it means to be a delegate. And it's great for us who aren't Americans, but I wonder how many of your country people have now thought, so that's what a delegate's about.
Ooh, aren't you the one in charge?
I'm sure that there are quite a few who heard that explanation for the very first time, and maybe for the next few years, that's pretty much what they know about that. But hey, that is the miracle of the Above Politics show. That's why we don't do the standard political news thing. We are here in part to pass on information and, dare I say, educate.
Well, that's an interesting thing that we educate people. But hey, if we can just give someone a thought process that someone thinks about something and maybe goes off and researches something, or I've made this challenge on the show before, has someone decided to go for office because we've said, hey, make a difference? But yeah, I'd like to think of that one. But clearly, of course, the big news, of course, were the speeches made by some of the high and mighty of the Republican Party.
But not all of them were Republicans, interestingly enough. Senator Joe Lieberman opened the Republican Convention. He is an independent, and although he does caucus primarily with the Democrats, he tends to vote with the Republicans a surprising amount of time. And oh, wow. The crackling noise you heard during his speech was likely some of his career bridges being burnt.
and I just have to sort of try and get it. Maybe for the non-Americans here, we'd be trying to get a parallel here. And I suppose the nearest parallel I can get to, and I'm probably going to get shot down in flames for this, but it'd be like maybe a senior liberal politician or a senior independent politician that would maybe vote with the Conservative Party but then would go to the other political party, the other major political party's conference, and make a big speech endorsing the prime minister or the leader of that party. And it's something that I just couldn't conceive of happening in the UK. And I I still can't understand what sort of motivates Joe Lieberman to do this. You know, as you quite rightly say, on one hand, he typically, you know, spends a lot of time voting with the Democrats, but he's quite happy to come along. And clearly, you have to think he must have known what he was doing when he stood up there at the Republican nominating convention. You know, clearly people must now start to associate him with that ticket. I can't see how people can do anything else but say, hang on a minute, Joe Lieberman must implicitly endorse McCain and Palin.
Well, he did more than implicitly endorse them. He specifically, explicitly endorsed them. And it is worth noting that Senator Lieberman hails from Connecticut. And the folks in Connecticut, I can say this because I've been there, they are very independent-minded. They don't necessarily vote the party line. They tend to vote the person more than the party.
Which, ultimately, I believe you should do. You shouldn't vote for the party just because they're at a party. This is where some people in the UK do, I think, get a little bit confused, in that people think they're voting for a party. In the UK, when you cast your vote at a general election, you are not voting for the Labour Party, the Conservatives, the Liberal Democrats, the Green Party, and a whole host of other political parties. You are voting for the person. Now, that person has decided to affiliate themselves with a party. So I'm a big fan of that one. Don't vote for the party. Vote for the person. And
is your political baggage worn out or in need of repair? Is it out of style? If you're a veteran politician or new to the game, you need to check out the latest offering from Case Pro Industries. We're proud to present our newest product line, Political Baggage. These travel accessories are ideal for the elected official or practicing attorney on the go. All of our items are available in DNA-resistant black or gray. Our operators are standing by. Call now and we'll set you up with a leak-proof body bag with easy grip handles, ideal for moving or storing those skeletons that may be in your closet. Our versatile suitcases contain many watertight compartments, ideal for concealing, storing, or otherwise caring for your undocumented cash. We offer two-faced makeup cases, ideal for those spur-of-the-moment press conferences, or those late-night outings with your favorite paid escort. Don't accept cheaper substitutes. Ask for Political Baggage today.
I have a lot of baggage, and everybody has rummaged through it for years.
That's the way I think it should be done. You shouldn't be voting just because they're a Democrat, they're a Republican. It should be because you think this is the best person to serve you and serve your country.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
You know, it's interesting that you make that comparison, because here in the States right now, the biggest problem that most voters are having with John McCain is that there's really a split. Those who are for him are either for him because of his policies, or they are for him just because of he being the man that he is, the war hero, the compromiser, the maverick, whatever you want to call him. And I notice that schism runs all the way through the Republican Party, and I'm a little concerned about how that's going to play out when we actually go to the polls and vote. In my imagination here, I can see tens of millions of voters going home on election night being entirely dissatisfied with their choice.
But I'm interested in that one, and I would agree with you a little bit that I think there is, I don't think the Republican Party, despite having potentially a much bigger opportunity here to coalesce around a single candidate, I would agree with you, I don't think they have actually coalesced as effectively as I think they could have done, bearing in mind that Senator McCain was known to be the presidential candidate for a significantly longer period than Barack Obama has been known as a Democratic candidate. And I was just wondering, and also, you know, because you are an Alaskan, what do you see the impact of him picking Sarah Palin, who I don't think many of us would have actually predicted that one. I know she's governor of Alaska. You know, she's fairly well unknown. I mean, I don't know how well known she's in the States, but I think outside of the States, I suspect she's totally unknown.
Well, Sarah Palin was without a doubt the surprise pick in the last 6 months here in the state. A lot of gossip has gone around. There have been a lot of of people who support her who have suggested that she was presidential material, but with only a year and 8 months on the job as governor, the genuine consensus was that she may be presidential timber someday, but she's not sufficiently seasoned yet. Now, having said that, you know, it's one thing to have made that observation, but now that she's on the ticket, now there's a huge move afoot here in the state to get behind it and to make it go. And a lot of people have said, hey, even if the Republicans lose, she's still only 44 years old. That means that she'll still be ready to go, young enough, and her career will be polished enough in 2012 or even 2016. So we, as a state, we really couldn't be prouder. But there's an interesting little behind the scenes thing going on here that's not being widely reported in the national media, and that's the fact that the old school party bosses, the guys who control the GOP at the state level, they do not like Sarah, because back before she was governor, when she was on a resources advisory council, she stepped in front of the nearest TV camera and acted as a whistleblower, and many of these good old boys got in trouble for getting their both hands and possibly a nose caught in the cookie jar. Are you a politician? Do you work for a politician? Do you want to be a politician? Do you think you have what it takes to go to Washington, D.C. and put up with all of that sin and all of that undocumented cash? Well, if that sounds like your version of a perfect career opportunity, then hey, have we got a deal for you. Case Pro Industries presents Scandal Wash. Use in place of your favorite bath gel, hair gel, or tooth remover for just 3 weeks, and you won't be leaving DNA evidence behind anywhere. Scandal Wash is not recommended for use as a contraceptive. People who would like to have children should not use Scandal Wash. Keep this product away from lobbyists and small children. Please do not confuse children for small lobbyists. Do not use or share near an open flame. Don't settle for cheaper substitutes. Ask for Scandal Wash today.
But what was I'm curious, because yeah, clearly we've just both accepted here, Justin, that this was almost a curveball that sort of came out from left field. I'm still trying to understand why Senator McCain didn't maybe go for a higher profile candidate. Why pick someone from Alaska, who, and I had no idea how much the rest of the states actually knew about Governor Palin, but I still can't understand, I can't fathom the logic of the McCain camp in picking Sarah Palin. I just don't see what it actually brings them, unless there's, some reason that they're, are they cynically trying to, get more of the female vote, which they think might typically have drifted towards Barack Obama, because he's young, he's charismatic, or, and potentially those are things you clearly can't say about John McCain. So, can we be more perceptive here and think that this is a much more cynical move?
Oh, this is stone cold cynical. This is absolute Machiavellian politics to the extreme. This is a curveball, and also it's designed, I believe, at the national level to be forward-looking. There's a lot of people who sit in very high-level positions in the Republican Party who've already made their peace with the notion that John McCain is going to lose. So they may have put the bug in his ear, hey, look, there is no reason that you should take the entire ship with you when you go down, so why not put somebody on the ticket who's got a future shelf life? Because, as we talked about with Don White last week, the Democrats have the habit of banishing or just politically neutering their presidential losers, but the Republicans are much more forgiving. Traditionally, they have given their presidential candidates two or three turns at bat if they feel like it's warranted. And in this case, Sarah Palin is probably going to be thought to be deserving of a second go at bat. But also, let's touch on this point that you were getting to about the female vote. Again, raw politics. If they can take 4% of the female base away from the Democrats, then that is that's a real solid boost to John McCain, because he typically trails in the national polls. He's just 4% behind Barack Obama. So anything they can do to make this a dead heat all the way to November 4th, it's in their best interest to do it.
But if you sort of take a little bit of what you've said there, Justin, that there are many people in the Republican Party who are sort of seeing this as a, well, we have to go through the motions, but we're going to get absolutely slaughtered. You know, I only have to look at the UK by-election scene. I think there have been some extremely large swings. And I don't necessarily think that 4% is an unassailable margin for the Republicans to actually pick up, especially if, you know, there is, you know, the odd slip up on the Democratic side, and that the Republicans can stay squeaky clean and, you know, stay on message here. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that you may see President McCain.
Right, but you mentioned the C word, and we are talking maximum cynicism here. And politicians around the world, it doesn't matter what country they are, in spite of the language barriers, they all believe and hope for the best and plan for the worst. Now, in this particular case, Sarah Palin turns out to be a very excellent foil, because while she does have a short resume, the same claim can be made of Barack Obama. And racial politics being what they are, he has a certain political correctness shield that he carries into battle with him all the time. And because of her gender, Sarah Palin benefits from similar weaponry. And ultimately, because the Republican hierarchy knows that the conservative voters are suffering from a crisis of morale, they've picked somebody who does a much better job of living the conservative lifestyle and adhering to party doctrine than really just about anybody else in the stable does. If you go through and look at the who's who of who else could have been John McCain's running mate, there's always something in their background which is going to be more displeasing to the Republican base than something like Trooper Gate, or even the matter of how Sarah deals with her fellow Republicans at the state level.
But I mean, interestingly, and I suppose this is an interesting thing that you see. You know, there's been loads of muckraking that's even sort of come over this side, that's sort of been in the press over here, you know, talking about Governor Palin's past. You know, I even think there's been references, I believe, to her husband, who might have had sympathies or may have been a member of the Alaskan Independence Party, and, you know, all the merry hay that's been made in the fact that her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant by, and she is unmarried. And, you know, I saw somewhere that, you know, they were going to get married, and I just wonder whether, you know, that was basically a shotgun pointed at the poor chap who said, "You have a choice, sunshine. The choice is either, you know, something happens, or you marry her, and, you know, you at least you make her a decent woman, either just before the child's born or just after the child's born." So, you know, I think it is interesting that, you know, how much of that actually dents people's views. And do you actually think that the average voter in when they go to the polls in November actually cares whether, you know, one of the daughters of one of the candidates or the VP candidates is unmarried, or, you know, I don't know, that maybe their brother or their member of their family has an alternative sexual viewpoint or something? Do you think people actually care about that?
There is yes, they do. But there's a difference between what matters at the state level when it comes to politics and what matters when it comes to the national level in politics. Here in America in 2008 today, the unwed mother thing is just not news. It's we have been assaulted by the media with this particular statistic, with this particular problem, since the 1960s. So we're all just numb to it anymore. It simply doesn't matter anymore. And when it comes to the matter of the shotgun wedding, I mean, that was a great joke here in the state. There were people who wanted to pass the hat so that Todd Palin could buy a very nice shotgun for his daughter's wedding. But that kind of humor just doesn't translate to the national level because it's a non-starter. It doesn't matter to anything. Here in the state, I got to tell you, we're actually laughing at some of what's being portrayed in the national media because this stuff is, in the case of Bristol Palin, this is half a year old for us. We knew this before you did. And this thing with Troopergate, this is a year old for us, and the specifics of the actual matter are not being correctly reported by either side, because the liberals and the conservatives in the media are both trying to twist that into something that fits their purposes. It is such a low level item. Just to give you some sort of comparison. Imagine that you are a department supervisor and that one of your section chiefs inappropriately leaned on an employee and they invoked your name. Now, ultimately, what happens is personnel gets involved and the guys from the legal department come out. And yeah, okay, you get dragged into it. It's guilt by association, but ultimately when the investigation is complete, they're going to come back to you and they're going to say that this guy over here invoked your name without clearing it with you, so he's the guilty party and not you. Ultimately, Sarah Palin is going to be cleared of the charges against her in this Troopergate matter. And it'll just die. And the only reason that it's reached the national level right now is that, in all seriousness, I think, that the talking heads have nothing else to spin.
Yeah, and I suspect that's absolutely right, because I can imagine that, you know, the state of Alaska is full of Democratic investigators trying to dig up a little bit of dirt. And I don't know whether, you know, not being, you know, from Alaska, and I know you live there, Justin, whether, you know, the state has sort of closed ranks a little bit and just sort of said, hang on a minute, you know, we're not prepared to indulge in this. We do things differently in Alaska.
Oh, we indulge in it. These are topics of great, huge rounds of gossip. But again, you know, what matters in the state does not translate well to national politics in every case. If you go to New York City and have a listen, the mere fact that their governor, David Patterson, is legally blind, that's still generating gossip. I'm in regular contact with people in New York City and out on the island of Manhattan. They talk about this guy all the time, but absolutely none of that goes to the national level. And if in 2012, if we were to see that Patterson throws his hat in the ring and he decides to run for president, any of the little scandals, who he bumped into, what supply closet he raided, what inappropriate gesture he may have made to somebody, those things might matter at the state level, but they simply will not translate to the national level, not even in the least.
Which I think is interesting. And I suppose, certainly in the UK, I suspect we have less of that sort of, you know, national and state and local level. So I think that's a huge political difference. So we typically don't see people who are, let's think of the right word here on the fly. Someone who's responsible for a metropolitan borough. The closest I can give as an example to that would be the mayor of London. But that's such a special case at the moment. You know, if you say take the prime minister and the cabinet, you know, politically you come down to the mayor of London. But that's purely because it's our capital city and it is a very high profile job. So what the mayor of London says, does or doesn't do, typically makes national press. But, you know, where I live, you know, the leader of my local district, what he does outside of this district, most people don't even care about. So typically, other than for the mayor of London, we typically don't have this sort of national and local thing. It's just you're either national or your local, and most people don't flick between the two.
Well, as an outsider, what I see about what goes on in Britain is that you guys have a different view of propriety than we do. And you're less, I think you guys are less willing to excuse social excesses, but we here in the States, because our divide, our separation of church and state is institutionalized, and because we are still fighting battles of privacy, we tend to view the private self versus the public self in a different light. A case in point is George W. Bush. Okay, this is a guy who is once upon a time an admitted drug user, and he's got a DUI on his record. But when it came time for him to run for president, people went to the polls and they said, that was then, this is now. When Bill Clinton got caught up in the Monica Lewinsky thing, the problem that we had was that that just happened now and this is still now, and because he chose to say, well, I didn't do that, when the evidence was to the contrary, that's when private crashed into public and the whole train wreck happened.
And you're right, although it is interesting that I think this is something that maybe spans across politics in general, that we as people, the people that vote, I think sometimes we expect our political leaders to not do things that maybe many of us would do ourselves, and we sort of seem absolutely agog and aghast when maybe some indiscretion or peccadillo of our political leaders is revealed. I think the classic example for me was the hoo-ha when Edwina Curry, who was a minister in the last Conservative government, in her memoirs, said that she'd be having an affair with John Major, who was a prime minister at the time, and there was all this hoo-ha about that one. But then you have to think, but hang on a minute, there are many people having affairs, and I sort of think we typically say, well, we expect our political leaders to be above normal desires and normal wants and things that happen to regular people, and I just think that's very strange. And I'm sure it's the same in the States, that we elevate these people, we somehow put them on a pedestal, but they're human, they're just like us, they've got the same vices, they've got the same issues typically on a day-to-day basis. And I just find that very odd, very strange.
Hey America, I'm Paris Hilton, and I'm a celebrity too, only I'm not from the olden days, and I'm not promising change like that other guy. I'm just hot. But then that wrinkly white-haired guy used me in his campaign ad, which I guess means I'm running for president. So thanks for the endorsement, white-haired dude. And I want America to know that I'm, like, totally ready to lead. And now I want to present my energy policy for America. Just as soon as I finish reading this article on where I can fly to get the best tan. Oh, Maui. Loves it. Okay, so here's my energy policy. Barack wants to focus on new technologies to cut foreign oil dependency, and McCain wants offshore drilling. Well, why don't we do a hybrid of both candidates' ideas? We can do limited offshore drilling with strict environmental oversight while creating tax incentives to get Detroit making hybrid and electric cars. That way, the offshore drilling carries us until the new technologies kick in, which will then create new jobs and energy independence. Energy crisis solved. I'll see you at the debates. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go pick out a vice president. I'm thinking Rihanna. I'll see you at the White House. Oh, and I might paint it pink. I hope that's cool with you guys. Bye. I'm Paris Hilton, and I approve this message because I think it's totally hot.
It is, but being the kind of political analyst that I am, I just take it in stride as far as the rich and famous being more vulnerable to the various vices and sins of the flesh. all I can tell you there is, you know, they can afford that stuff. I can't. So until the day comes when I can afford, you know, hookers and coke and anything else, I'm just not going to be confronted by it. It's not in my social makeup. I live and I work with people who are in the same boat. But when you go to Washington or get involved in other fast track career fields where all of a sudden you're making more money than you can possibly use, then you end up with problems like that, and then you end up with ego-driven careers. And of course, I'm making a reference to just about anybody who's preached holier than thou and then turned out to have a mistress and illegitimate kids in the closet. And that, of course, I'm talking about John Edwards, and even in recent years, Jesse Jackson.
Exactly. So, you know, I think you're right, but it's just an interesting point. And guess what? If you want to comment on what Justin and I have been saying, you may disagree with us, you may agree with us. You know what to do. You come to the show thread or you drop us a UTU. Of course, we prefer it to be on the show thread so that everyone else or the other fans, and I have to say, I think we do have some fans of this show, Justin, and the other members of ATS can sort of, you know, get your viewpoints on what we have to say.
You know, I can actually prove that we have fans, because in next week's show, we'll be showcasing a conversation that Martin had with ATS member Proto Firefox. And to get back to this question of people versus policy, I'll be bringing you an interview that I conducted with Republican challenger Sean Parnell, who's running against Don Young here in Alaska. Don Young has been in office for the better part of 30 years. He has been our representative through thick and thin. He played a role in the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline, and today, you know, he's on pretty shaky ground, and he's being challenged by one of his fellow Republicans. And Sean is here in Anchorage. He's on pins and needles right now because there's only 151 votes or so that separate him from victory. They're still counting the absentee ballots. And by the time we come back into the studio to do this show next week, we're going to have the answer to that question of, you know, does he win or does he lose? But more importantly, we're going to be able to bring this conversation that Martin and I have just had here. We're going to be able to bring this full circle.
And who knows? We might be able to, hey, maybe can that one actually talk to the winning candidate? Hey, who knows?
Your ornery fur-bearing rebel!
I'm going to do what I can. In addition to being able to talk to Sean Parnell, I've actually managed to wangle an interview with Alaska delegate David Boyle. He went to the Republican National Convention, and a little known fact that he confided to us during the interview was the fact that he got to serve on one of the convention committees, and he'll be telling us all about that in next week's show.
Hey, and you know, I just have to say, you know, we're starting to, you know, get some momentum here. People are, you know, prepared to talk to us. You know, we've got a candidate who's running for, you know, a state office. We've got a delegate who wants to talk to us about that. And we've also, as you say, got Proto Firefox, who I know is going to talk about Tin Wiki. And for those of you that don't know anything about that one, find out more next week. But certainly, the other place to go, of course, is AboveTopSecret.com or the website for the Above Politics Show, which is www.theabovepoliticsshow.com.
Now, I've got one question before we wrap up and go. I just had a chance to look the other day, and I noticed that neither you nor I are listed in the ATS 10 Wiki.
Whether that's a deliberate oversight, and I have no idea, but I can be pretty sure then that once this show goes out, you and I may well be included in there. It'd be interesting to see what they say about us.
Are you ready for a close encounter of the tinfoil kind and want to do some collaborative writing with some of the most intelligent people on planet Earth? Then go to our board home at AboveTopSecret.com. and find tinwiki.org in the Conspiracy Theory Discussion Forum area. TinWiki is an online encyclopedia where members can create new pages and where every page can be edited by anyone reading the page and wanting to improve it. The 10 wiki encyclopedias for specific type of topics only, such as conspiracy theories, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal phenomena, mythological creatures, lost civilizations, and life on other planets, just to name a few. So join thousands of other ATS members in creating an encyclopedia of AboveTopSecret.com articles that will be viewed by millions of members and guests from around the world. And if you happen to see William Onesack or Optimus, tell them Dave Rabbit sent you.
Well, hey, if you think we should be included in the ATS 10 Wiki, please include your thoughts in this particular show thread.
Absolutely, and I think that's the clock ticking away. I'm Martin Bain.
I'm Justin Case, and we'll see you next time on the Above Politics Show.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at AbovePolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.